your grandfathers did important stuff, too.
Like what?
Doesn't Clara tell a story about how her mom and dad met on the Oregon Trail?
Oh, yeah. She's told me a million times.
It was love at first sight. The rough-and-tumble pioneer and that timid little greenhorn from back east. They were married the same day they met, and their wedding announcement was burned into this piece of buckboard from their wagon.
Whoa, that was great!
Back to the future is my favorite thing. Always talk about it and write songs to sing. Even though there was never a part four, Marty McFly is coming back for more. I don't make money, get no fame. Love for these characters is what I blame. Podcast about comics and cartoons and more, 'cause there's still things to explore. In Marchie McFly 4. It's Marchie McFly 4. Can you feel it?
Happy Saturday night, everybody, and welcome back to Marchie McFly 4. It's March 16th, 2024, which means it's the 16th day of the fourth year of Marchie McFly. And folks, dare I say, this is a season finale episode, not of course of Marchie McFly, but it is the season finale of the Back to the Future animated series, episode season one. So we're halfway there. We're at the halfway point of the animated series. We're over the halfway point of the month, and I am excited. I am mapping things out for the rest of the way. In fact, I think I just put together a calendar so I know exactly what I'm going to be doing, when I'm going to be doing it, so I get every episode of Marchie, of Back to the Future, the animated series. And I get the Bruins just scored a goal, so I'm happy. I get the rest of the comic books that I've been covering in that collection of comics. So there's going to be five comics covered. We've only covered two, but there's still time for three more. Plus, another episode that I just thought of today when I was talking in person to a past and future guest of Marchie McFly and Geek Mentality in general, Eric. I spoke to him today as I was out walking my dog. He drove by and he jumped out and he said, Marchie McFly said it's here. We embraced, we danced around. We almost got hit by a car. It was intimate. It was special. It was something neither of us will ever forget, and neither of us will forget either. But we did talk, and I did, share with them, shared with him and shared with Jay that we're going to pick some time soon to cover, some season two animated series talk. I don't have the specific episodes or nights we're going to be doing with them, but I'm getting the ball in motion, or the balls in motion. And I, I'm not even going to ball. I was going to make some sort of balls joke, but I think not making the balls joke, but explaining that I was going to be the balls joke is the balls joke. So laugh away, everybody. Ha ha. Yuck it up. I was a really nice day here in Massachusetts, so my wife and I went to the beach. You're thinking, wait, weren't you just in Florida at the beach? Yeah, this was very different. This is a beach in March in Massachusetts. So you're still wearing a jacket. But it was so sunny out, and the we timed it for the tide to go out. So we were able to, there's a lot of beach to walk and a ton of dogs. In Massachusetts, but if you don't know this, you can't bring your dogs to the beach from April through, I think, the middle of September or the beginning of October. I forget. I have it written down in a calendar. There's no dogs allowed on the beach. So basically from the middle of spring through summer and then, you know, towards the end of summer. Once fall hits, you can start taking your dogs to the beach. I feel like people probably do it anyway, but I'm a stickler for the rules. In Maine, which is nice, you can bring your dogs to certain beaches during the summer after, actually almost every beach, after some it's like after 6 or after 5. So we do that a lot. We'll take a drive to the beach. We'll go to Wells, Maine. Our favorite place in Wells, Maine is Drake's Island. So we will hit this food truck court, and then we'll take a ride to Drake's Island. There's parking, there's bathrooms, and there's white sandy beaches. Yes, you think white sandy beaches, you're thinking the tropics or you know, the Caribbean or Florida, but no. Maine has some beautiful white sandy beaches. Like the it's definitely, the sand feels different from in Massachusetts. And the sand in Massachusetts is a little crazy. If you've seen in the news recently, sand is just, this has nothing to do with Back to the Future. I just wanted to say hi and talk. Sand has been creeping and creeping up to the houses that are like right on the edge of the beach, the beaches. So the sand of the beaches is not a topic I thought I'd be going with today. But what else is going on? Oh, and you know, I tell you about my wife's back. She's had back issues. You know, I think I've mentioned it. I'm sure I've mentioned it. Last Marty McFly, she was recovering from back surgery. Now she's going to have another one in a couple months. So that's something we're gearing up towards. But in the meantime, we did one of those things where the Bruins scored again. How exciting. We joined a gym, but a gym just to get in the pool. So there's a gym in the local area that you can allow you to join for a pool. Did I mention this already? I might have. And we're doing it tomorrow. We're going to the pool tomorrow for the first time because the pool, just like her floating or swimming in the water, really gives some relief to her back. Does this, again, nothing to do with Back to the Future, but, you know, it's my show. And you know, I like to talk about what's going on in the world, in my world, before I get to the, of course, the magic, the heart of today's episode, which is the season one finale of the Back to the Future animated series. So one thing I realized in looking at the calendar is I'm going to have to double up a few things. So there may be an episode where I talk about two animated series episodes. There may be an episode where I talk about two comics. Actually, I think I'm doubling up a few times to fit a few things in. So there's going to be some longer episodes coming up in the next couple of weeks, and there'll be some guests coming in the next couple of weeks. So I'm pretty excited about all of that. But you know what I'm also excited about? I'm excited to talk about this episode because I have to tell you, you know, after the episode, oh my God, they scored again. I'm sorry, the Bruins just scored like 3 goals in like the last 2 minutes. But I'm excited because after yesterday's episode, which I thought was kind of a stinker, this one came back today with, I don't know how else to explain it, except I think it was good. And I enjoyed it. And I'm looking forward to talking about it to you. So I'm not going to waste any more time before the Bruins even score again. Let's get right to it and talk about today's animated series episode, season one, episode 13, the season finale of season one. Can I say season one more time? All right, let's get this going.
Explain my guitar.
So as I said, this is the season finale of the first season, episode 13. It first aired on December 14th, 1991. So, okay, I was 15 years old. It was December 91. I was probably getting ready for Christmas break. Again, I was too old for this show. I think I had all the tapes, all the shows, all the movies on VHS at that point. I was watching them, you know, and already loving them, watching all three movies and the secrets behind the, you know, hosted by noted coup Kirk Cameron. That's all been established. But I think the cartoon, for some reason, I never focused on it. Now, at this point, there's no DVRs in the world. We had VCRs, but I wasn't setting things up to record. And I was, you know, 15, so I was probably sleeping on Saturdays till about 10 a.m. in the morning, which is, you know, a good time. 10 a.m. at night is crazy, but 10 a.m. in the morning, you know, makes more sense. So it makes sense that I didn't ever watch this show. And so I wouldn't be watching this on December 14th, 1991. God, remember when you like sleeping late? I don't do that anymore. If I sleep till 8, I feel like I've slept the day away. Now I like waking up early. I still stay up late, but not as late as I used to. But I wake up early because I like having mornings. I like having full days. Sometimes when you're very busy, I'll joke with my wife. I'm like, did that happen? Did I do that today? Was that today? Usually it happens. It starts on a Sunday if I wake up early and go out for groceries. But I wasn't doing that December 14th. I was probably sleeping while this episode aired. But as I said, I really kind of enjoyed this episode. It was written by John Loy and Mary Jo Luden. I know we've seen John Luden in the past, and it was directed by Phil Robinson. Now, what's interesting about this episode is that it is featured on its own VHS cassette. You could buy the VHS of this episode and Brothers, which for those of you who know the series, you'll be like, oh, this cassette comes with Clara's Folks and Brothers, which was the season premiere episode, of course, the one in the Civil War. But it looks like on the VHS box, it says, Back to the Future, Clara's Folks and Brothers. That's what it seems like. And if you don't know this, you probably think those might be Clara's brothers on the cover. On the cover of this VHS, it's Doc and Marty. They seem to be towing the DeLorean that should be what horses are doing. Like they're basically where a horse is. They have the ropes strapped to them. Jules and Vern and a horse are sitting on top of the DeLorean, much like Doc and Marty did in Back to the Future 3, but there's a horse there as well with them, and it looks like there's a covered wagon aspect to the DeLorean as well, and wagon wheels. So that's interesting, and really has almost nothing to do with the episode, except for the covered wagon part. But other than that, and I guess the clothes the kids are wearing, this cover isn't really indicative of what we're about to see as we go through said episode. So it opens as it normally does with the opening credits. It'll be interesting to see with season two if we get new opening credits. If we do, fear not, I will walk you through those step by step. And of course it opens again with Doc Brown. He is going through a bunch of stuff because Clara wants him to clean. He has a bunch of junk, a bunch of crap. He's a hoarder of scientific inventions and discoveries and all kinds of stuff. And Clara wants him to get rid of some of it. So he's going through a box and he's like, ooh, check this out. Like there was like a VCR. He pulls out a VCR. He goes, this was my science fair invention for 1930 something. He goes, it worked and everything. The only problem was there weren't TVs back then. So is he saying he brought a VCR back with him to the 30s? Or is he saying he invented the VCR in the 30s? I don't know. Either way, I'm calling crap on that and saying that this was a way for him to cheat. Now, wait a minute. How the heck would he have that in the 30s? That means he would know that he was time traveling. This doesn't make any sense. But I think the point of it was just to get him to pick up this tape. He picked up this tape. He looks at it and goes, ooh. And look, I'm going to be honest with you. The first thing I thought of when I saw the tape and he looked a little embarrassed of it is that he taped himself and Clara, getting heavy. Let's just put it that way. But no, it had nothing to do with that. He said, and it's funny, I had to rewind it to hear what he said. He said a few years back he had a bit of a cash flow problem. I thought he said at first, a few years back I had a bit of a Castro problem. Like he went back in time and he had to deal with Fidel Castro. But he said he had a bit of a cash flow problem and he had to go on the Hill Valley Shopping Network to sell some of his inventions.
After years of tinkering and fine-tuning, it's finally perfected. The deep thinking, mind-reading helmet. The ultimate thinking cap. I've had it for my thoughts.
Doc Brown's mind-reading helmet, only $19.95 plus $2 shipping and handling. So you don't forget, call before midnight tonight. 1-800.
That's enough of that.
I agree, Doc. That's enough of that. Yeah, normally I don't really play clips throughout the episode when talking about it, but I had to. I just had to air that little thing because it's seeing is believing when talking about the fact that the opening of this is Doc talking about using a VCR as a, you know, I think cheating in a science fair and then having to hawk some of his stuff on the Home Shopping Network. On the Hill Valley Home Shopping Network. I don't believe any of that stuff happened. I don't know. That seems silly. But then this has nothing to do with the episode. He then finds this net on the end of a long stick. And the stick is way too long for it to be in this box. So there's that little gag going. He goes, what is this? He goes, you know what? I remember now. This belonged to Mr. Clayton, Clara's father. I actually met him way back in 1850. This was actually 5 years before Clara was even born. But it actually, it's because of something that Vern, you know, we blame Vern for this story. So we cut to the Brown farm in the current day, and Vern's playing video games, but he's kind of depressed. And Jules like, what's going on? I guess they're coming home from school in a bathtub that Jules turned into some sort of steam-powered vehicle that runs with hand mixers that you'd use. Maybe it's not steam-powered. Maybe it's Jules-powered. I don't know. But he's upset because it's like show and tell, and this other kid's grandfather is showing off something really exciting for him, and Jules doesn't have anything exciting for, you know, about his grandfather, so he's jealous about that. He doesn't say that right away at first, but you could see that he's kind of upset. They end up crashing into the house. That doesn't matter. Marty's there for some reason playing guitar by himself again. Where's his family? It's great we meet Clara's folks, but what about Marty's friggin' parents? You know, yesterday, Mark George McFly's almost death, and we haven't even seen him in this freaking cartoon. So Vern's like, I'm all upset because this kid had a great story about his grandfather. And Marty's like, well, what about your grandfather? He was pretty great. Didn't he meet your grandmother on the Oregon Trail? He's like, yeah, I guess he did. And he goes, I wish there was a way to prove it. You know what? I'll go get a picture of him. So he goes, digs out a camera, and he says, we're going to travel back to 1850 to see when he got married to grandma. And of course, they're like, we don't think that's a good idea, but they do it anyway. The three of them go, Jules, Vern, and Marty. And Jules sets up the camera, the holographic camera, so they can be, you know, in period specific clothing, takes the picture, and we see Jules, like kind of dressed up almost, I don't know, like with a bowler hat, Vern looking like Daniel Boone, and Marty looking like Back to the Future 3, Marty McFly. I like that setup. We even get a bit of the Back to the Future 3 theme here because with one press of the button, the DeLorean turns into a DeLorean-covered wagon with wheels and a wagon cover because I guess Doc outfitted the DeLorean with this custom option back when they had a Frontier Day parade or something in Hill Valley. I don't know. They explained it. Who cares? Again, I'm telling you, I really enjoyed this episode. So they're like, you know what? I think we timed it right that they should be coming on the Oregon Trail pretty soon. Jules is like, I hear them coming now. But instead, it's actually a buffalo stampeding them. So they hide under the wagon while all the buffalo head off. And they get then a gunshot, I think, scares the buffalo away. And they find a guy who is the wagon man. Oh, I'm sorry. They don't find a guy. They find Clara's mother. Her name is, I have it written down here. Oh, I don't have it written down. I have it in the Wikipedia, the Back to the Future, Futurepedia, Martha Clayton. She's Martha O'Brien at this point, so she is yet to marry Mr. Clayton because they get married on this day. So she's basically the spitting image of Clara, except she is a redhead, and she scared the buffalo away. She's like pretty tough frontiers woman who, just like Lorraine Baines, automatically gets the smoking huts for Marty McFly. Like, this frontier woman, she's here for two reasons, and one of them is to get across the Oregon Trail. The other is to get a husband, because she's horned up right away all over Marty, and the kids are like, ew, that's not right. So boom, the rest of the trail shows up. And the guy who's running the trail, he's drawn in a way that reminds you of Itchy and Scratchy. Ren and Stimpy. Just has that look. And I wonder, and through the power of editing, I just went to the IMDb of the dude who created Ren and Stimpy. I went to his Wikipedia first, John Crickfalzelsi. Yeek. So, you know, it seems like in the last 2 days, I look up animated guys. I looked up John Lasseter from Pixar, and I look up this dude. I thought maybe he worked as an animator in this show. I don't see him in there, but he did work for, dating underage women. So a bit of a creep. Let's go back to the story. So anyway, this guy, he, again, looks like something out of Ren and Stimpy, but he sounds like John Wayne. So I really liked his voice. I do admit, I do like in these episodes when they have these side characters who have voices that kind of are reminiscent of old famous voices that you'd hear, you know, from movies or TV shows in the 50s and 60s. Because you get it again. So the whole wagon train stops, and then they start crashing because the last guy who was running his wagon wasn't paying attention because he was reading a book. It was the nerdy father of Clara, Mr. Daniel Clayton. We see him here. He looks kind of nerdy, wears a little bowler hat, a little pudgy, wears nerdy little glasses, reads a nerdy book like a big bookworm, and he causes the crash. But what I like about him is he's almost like a, I think he's doing like a Jack Benny kind of thing. It's like the way he talks like this. It's a very much like based on an old actor. It's not Carson. I think it's a Jack Benny. I think he's doing Jack Benny. Jack Benny, I'll say three more times. So I like his talking throughout the entire episode. It's just very much like, hey, how's it going there? Up like this. And what did I do? I mean, could it be Jack Lemmon? I don't know. I think it's Jack Benny. I don't know. Whatever it is. We do see the net on a stick. I don't even remember if that comes into play later. But what we don't see is Martha checking out Daniel, because Martha is checking out Clint Eastwood. I don't think he's known as Clint Eastwood here, but he will be in about 35 years. She's like all interested in him. So they end up staying on the wagon, and they're like, we need to make sure we get Jules and Verna, like, we screwed things up. We need to get Grandma back with Grandpop. They have no idea that they're their grandparents, but we need to figure this out. So it's kind of, it is a new version of the Back to the Future story. Maybe that's why I liked it so much, because, the Bruins just scored again. Wow, ooh, Philly was coming right back. I don't know, I don't like this. There's only a couple minutes left, but I'm going to get back to the game here, the show. It's very reminiscent of Lorraine falling for Marty, and therefore Lorraine not getting with George and Marty almost disappearing. Now it's Martha falling for Marty, and not getting together with Daniel and not on their wedding day. So, I mean, the consequences might not be good. Ooh. But yeah, she's got him tied up on her horse. Like, she's like, you're marrying me today. Very, very, very direct. He's like, look, it might go a long way if maybe you untie me. And she's like, you know what? You make a good point. And then he runs and hides in the wagon with Marty, with the kids, with Jules and Vern. Actually, no, he goes and hides with Jack Benny or, you know, Daniel. And Daniel's got all kinds of scientific experiments in his car. So he's very much a man of science, which makes sense because he did buy Clara her telescope and he was, you know, he was instrumental in her love of science. So they keep going along on the trail. They're going through water. They're going here. They're going there. Nothing much, you know, happens as far as like story-wise. The kids are afraid of noises at night. They sleep next to Marty, take his covers. He's cold. But what they try to do is like, all right, let's try to get Daniel so he's looking cool and heading out to meet Martha. But I think Martha thinks she's going to go meet, or they're going to go to dinner, and Martha's going to meet Marty. She thinks she's going to meet Marty. They want to get a setup with Daniel. And then all of a sudden, Wild Bill Tannen shows up. Yes, this is, it's not our oldest Tannen because we go back to the, wait, this is pre-Civil War, right? 1850 is pre-Civil War. So this is before the boys. So this could, his son could be, I don't know. And he could have a son also as Mad Dog. This is, I'm getting my years mixed up, but this guy is gross. He's got a few teeth. He's got flies. He's and he gets offended when anyone calls him like old, stranger. He's like, I ain't old. So anyway, Martha's, you know, dressed up, looking mighty, mighty keen. And Daniel, they're trying to get Daniel all hopped up to go talk to her and fall in love with her. So they are just about to, he's just about to go talk to her. And Wild Bill's like, hey there. Very reminiscent of Back to the Future. He kidnaps her right there, kidnaps her, steals. I think he steals some stuff from, another guy too. He steals a pelt. I don't know exactly, but he gets away. Meanwhile, back in the, 1991, Doc's just working on a robot. I forgot to mention, Doc was working on a robot. It doesn't have anything to do with the plot. I was like, this robot is going to be great. What's he going to do? Absolutely nothing. So Clara comes in the room, and she's like, Emmett, something's wrong with my parents' wedding announcement. It's disappeared. And what's also happening, she doesn't realize it, is she is becoming erased from existence. She is like almost, she's not transparent, but she's translucent. You can see through her. And Doc's like, great, Scott, what's going on? And so he goes, let's get to the train. So they get, you know, they're back in 1850, and the old John Wayne guy's talking about someday there's going to be train tracks coming through all these sections. Right at that moment, boom, the train shows up from 1991. And he's like, listen, guys, your grandmother, your mother is disappearing. So there's a guy who comes out and goes, Wild Bill stole her. Like, great. So they're going to fix him to go save her from Wild Bill. But meanwhile, she doesn't need to fix him. She beats the crap out of Wild Bill, takes a gun, puts it on him. But then he gets the upper hand for 1 second. All of a sudden, he ties them both up, picks up Vern's camera. And he's like, is that one of them pictures, things where you look inside and see the lady? So he's basically asking if it's a strip thing, you know, good children's fun. And Vern's like, yes, beat it. Got to keep your eyes open. Press that button. And he does that. And the flash from the camera blinds him. He gets hit by the donkey. He gets kicked by the donkey. And I think he's killed instantly. I mean, it looks close. He's definitely concussed. And they're like, well, at least it can't get worse. Let's get out of here. Then a bear shows up. I think the bear mauls him. But he must have already had children. Does he get away? Oh, he gets thrown onto the donkey who runs off. Then the bear shows up about to get them. But it doesn't. Like, I think Vern just... Oh, I'm sorry. The bear is about to get them. And Doc and the kids and the granddad and Marty are way up on this hill. They're like, I know what to do. Doc takes the cover of the wagon off, builds a hang glider, and he's like, come on. And he tells them where to put this pelt that they had. Put it right in this exact spot, and both of you get on top of it quickly. And boom, they get shot in the air because they're on Old Faithful. Right then and there, they get away from the bear. Then while they're in the air, the hang glider comes down with, I want to say Jack Benny, but it's Daniel Clayton and Doc Brown. They swoop in and they save them. And, Doc grabs his kids. Daniel grabs Martha, and boom, it's love at first sight. There's a twinkle in their eyes right away. And the next thing you know, they're getting married. All is saved. They kiss. They discover a butterfly right at that moment. And Daniel names the butterfly after his grandmother back in 1991. Now, Vern is at his science in his classroom, and he's giving the story of his grandfather and how he discovered this butterfly. And the teacher's like, that's great. But then she doesn't say, but your grandfather would be like 250 years old or whatever, 100 and something years old. Like, no one makes the connection. And this other kid that, was giving him some trouble or he was jealous of, he says, hey, Brown, your grandfather sounds pretty cool. He's like, you should meet my grandmother. And that's the end of the animated episode. Okay, perfect? No. And was my storytelling perfect? Far from it. But I think what I liked so much is that it aped the original story. It told another version of that, but with Clara's grandparents in a way that kind of made sense. Like, it isn't the same character, so they're not doing the same thing, but it happened because, it just so happens that Clara's mother was a hankering for a husband, and she was going to take one that day without hesitation. She was taking one that day. Whichever one would say yes. It wasn't Marty. It ended up being Mr. Daniel Clayton. So then we cut back to Doc, and he basically says, I'm angry. I'm steaming. And he goes, no, I'm not. I just want to, I'm making a joke about being under pressure or something, whatever, letting off steam like a geyser. And then we get to science book, whatever the hell it is, geyser. He talks about geysers. We get friggin' Bill Nye, the science mime, and he just gives a little eyebrow up. That's the most communicating. I wonder if it's Morse code for help me. He's just kind of sitting there in his science project. But they're like, we're going to be using fire, so don't do this at home, kids. And he shows how to make a little geyser. So they make a little geyser. Then we cut back, and Doc Brown is like, you could also, it's great to make hot cocoa with. He's wearing glasses for some reason. He looks good in these glasses, I'll give you that. But he says, see you in the future. And that's the end of the episode. We get a perfect dun, 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 music at the end. And yeah, that's it. That's the end of the episode. That's the end of the season. And then the final joke is, Biff's like, what carries milk and only has one horn? A milk truck. And then he gets run over by a milk truck driven by cows. Or he gets chased away by a milk truck driven by cows. But that's it. Season 1 of Back to the Future, the animated series, in the books. I wonder when they knew they would be coming back for a second season. 26 episodes for a cartoon isn't a lot. I feel like even some shows, they'd be like, oh, there were 60 episodes, but it was only around for 1 year. But the next time that we'll be talking about the animated episode, we'll be talking about an episode called Mac the Black. It is episode 1 of season 2, and it is not until September of 92 that this episode aired. So we're talking it ended in December, and then the people who were clamoring for what comes next had to wait 9 months. But you will not have to wait that long. No, 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 my friends. You're only going to have to wait 1 day. Because, yes, tomorrow we'll be talking about season 2, episode 1 of Back to the Future, the animated series. So listen up, my friends. I think I'm done. I think I nailed it. And I think if you're still listening, then it's proof that I nailed it, because there's no other reason for people to still be here. So listen, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram, on Threads and Mastodon.social, on Blue Sky, all at Geek Mentality. Go to Fans Not Experts on YouTube or Fans Not Experts on Facebook, or go to fans.experts.com for every episode of Marty McFly, every episode of Geek Mentality, and every episode of every friggin' podcast that I work on. So if you do that, then I promise you I'll be back with another episode tomorrow. Okay? That's our, you know, but if you don't do it, all right? Well, I'll be back with another episode tomorrow. So I guess it really doesn't matter either way. I'm trying to trick you into checking out the website. I think I did it. I think you've already checked it out, so I win. But you also win, because I'll be back tomorrow. And until then, my friends, thank you for listening, thank you for subscribing, and here is my theme song.
This is my podcast, I made it. Geek Mentality's what I named it. And I think you should listen and subscribe. Cause I'm kinda funny and awesome. I think that I'm worth your time, and I'm kinda handsome. My mom says, please listen and please subscribe. At least listen to this episode.
Fans Not Experts.